Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
MGM Network presents to you the most unique show in sports.
Sorry for hating. No, I'm not. I love being a hater when it comes to winning money.
A show so unapologetically original, it needs its own word to describe it. Wagertainment.
Money won. Is twice as sweet as money here.
Featuring the prop king himself, Nick Kostos.
My opinion, you bet Buffalo to win the Super Bowl, you are wasting your money. I don't know how you watch this defense get destroyed last night by the Atlanta Falcons and say, you know what, this is my team to win the Super Bowl. It's year 9. We've seen this happen before with Sean McDermott. What makes you think this year is going to be different when every year goes exactly the same? The James Franklin era at Penn State ends, not with a bang, but with a $49 million buyout. I'm talking like people I respect contorting themselves like they're in Cirque du Soleil to tell you Patrick Mahomes is not the best quarterback in the league. Honestly, like, it's sad. It's fake, phony football intellectualism.
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
What's up, everybody? Happy and merry, wonderful Football Wednesday to you and yours. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you here on the Odyssey app, on SiriusXM, on YouTube at youtube.com/@TheBetMGM Network, on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheBetMGM Network, and heard on radio stations nationwide. We are in your hearts and in your minds as we bring you the fastest show in all of wagertainment. Talking all things sports betting. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Coming up today on the show, dun 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 dun, we know it moved. Femi and I will roll through every single game coming up week number 7 in the National Football League. All the side moves, all the total moves, and all the latest updated injury information, and there's a lot of it starting to come down, 4 o'clock Eastern here on Wednesday afternoon, first day of the week where the injury reports start to come out for the Sunday and the Monday games. So we will have for you, it moved, every single game, where the lines are, where we think they're going, injury information, and our betting leans and the actual wagers that have been placed. That's coming up next hour on the show. Also, you know, it just feels like it's going to be Dodgers-Mariners in the World Series, doesn't it? Like we've been saying since before the League Championship Series even started. We will talk about the Dodgers win last night in Milwaukee to take a 2-0 series lead, and why, for me, as an old-school baseball fan, this was like borderline sexually arousing. Watching Yoshinobu Yamamoto go a full 9 innings for a complete game. What a novel concept. We'll talk the Dodgers and the Brewers. We'll get you set to bet Game 3 of the ALCS tonight in Seattle with the Mariners up 2-0 over the Toronto Blue Jays. Three tremendous guests will join us on the show. Odyssey Sports NFL insider, the great Brian Baldinger. On 3, college football insider, our friend, the great Brett McMurphy. And our pal, Danny Parkins of First Things First on Fox Sports 1. We will talk National Football League and college football with our three tremendous guests today on You Better You Bet. And in the Power Hour, in the final hour, all of our bets for tonight in the world of sports. And I will resist the urge to give out a hockey bet after my under 6.5 last night, the Ducks and the Penguins, ended Anaheim 4, Pittsburgh 3. And I know that because when I woke up this morning to drive my wife to the airport, I have the house to myself for a few days. It's a weird feeling. The first thing I did when I woke up this morning was not, like, look at the monitor. Is my daughter awake? It wasn't to, like, look at the clock to be like, did we oversleep? Like, were the McAllisters in Home Alone? No. I checked the score of Ducks-Penguins. And I was unhappy when I saw that we went over the total. I bet under 6.5. They ended on 7 goals. So we'll give our bets out at the end of the show for tonight in the world of sports. But we officially begin. Wonderful Football Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet. With a couple games on Week 7 NFL Sunday that have big time tickled my fancy. And I love to get my fancy tickled. I think about these two games, ripe with storylines, just tons of content on both sides, bets to be placed, and it gets me really, really excited. And there are a couple games that I'm pumped for. Both games on Monday night are awesome. Seahawks-Texans, Bucks-Lions, both games on Monday are sick. There are a couple Sunday games that didn't make the cut, like the Chargers and the Colts, and I'm pumped for that game. I think the Chargers might have a big-time schematic advantage there. If the Colts are going to be down players in their secondary, could be a huge game for Justin Herbert throwing the ball. But we want to see what the injury report has in store for that game. So there are other games that I'm super into, and we will talk about all of them next hour on the show with It Moved. But for now, two games that have really caught my attention, and when I'm thinking about putting the show together, these are the games that I wanted to lead the show with. And we will start in Minnesota, where the 3-2 Vikings will come out of their bye and entertain the reigning, defending, yet reeling Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, losers of two straight after a 4-0 start. Do the math, now sitting at 4-2. And we're going to lead with the Vikings angle here because there's so much going on, and a lot of it, honestly, at this moment right now, infuriates me. I think what's happening right now in Minnesota is gamesmanship for the sake of gamesmanship, and I think it's stupid, and I think that Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell, who I have a ton of respect for, coach of the year last year, we won money on it. It was awesome. We were out for dinner in New Orleans at the Super Bowl with the waiter that asked us 17 times if we wanted to order appetizers. It's a true story. And we won coach of the year, and it was really great on Kevin O'Connell, and that was we rode Femi's coattails to a victory. We love Kevin O'Connell. I bet the Vikings to make the playoffs this year because of Kevin O'Connell. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. But man, I respect Kevin O'Connell. I think he's one of the best coaches in the league. I do not like the way Kevin O'Connell is handling the quarterback situation in Minnesota, where both J.J. McCarthy, remember him, and Carson Wentz will be taking reps with the first team at practice this week ahead of Sunday's game at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, both are slated to talk to the media this week, and I don't know when Kevin O'Connell is going to make his decision as to who's going to start. I don't know when that's going to get revealed. It could happen during this segment. It could happen during the show. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen Friday. It could happen Saturday. Hell, it could happen on Sunday morning. I have no idea how this is going to play out in terms of when will Kevin O'Connell make his decision on who the starting quarterback is going to be. But here's what I will say. And this is a macro Minnesota Vikings take, not just for the rest of this season, but for the seasons to come as well. J.J. McCarthy returned to practice for the Vikings on Monday. He's practicing, which means that presumably, ostensibly, he's healthy. Like, he's just gonna, he took all this time off. When this happened and the injury was announced that he was gonna miss all this time, we're like, okay, like, they want to get him some rest and sit him through the bye, and then he's gonna be good to go. So my guess is that J.J. McCarthy's healthy. I don't know that for sure, but I think it's a pretty educated guess that J.J. McCarthy's healthy enough to play in an NFL game this weekend, even one against the reigning defending Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles. And if that's true, and J.J. McCarthy's healthy enough to play, and it's also true that Carson Wentz is dealing with an injury to his non-throwing shoulder, which Kevin O'Connell talked about at his press conference today. And by the way, even if it's not true, and Carson Wentz is 100% healthy, I don't even think that matters. I'm just saying for context. If J.J. McCarthy's healthy, he needs to play on Sunday. Absolutely has to play on Sunday. If McCarthy plays and he embarrasses himself, and we'll talk about my expectations for McCarthy in a second. If McCarthy plays and he embarrasses himself, you can always go to Carson Wentz. You'll have more data on J.J. McCarthy, and you can say, hey, this is the season where our expectation is to make the playoffs and make a deep run. We got to play the guy that gives our team the best chance to win. And the guys in the locker room will know it if it's not J.J. McCarthy and it's Carson Wentz. They'll know it. If J.J. McCarthy is healthy enough to play and they start Carson Wentz on Sunday, like, that's it for J.J. McCarthy. Now, maybe your counter to that is, you the listener, you the viewer, well, if Wentz stinks, you can go to J.J. McCarthy. If they play Wentz this weekend, this is Kevin O'Connell basically saying J.J. McCarthy's not the guy. Right? Someone construct an argument that disproves what I just said. That if McCarthy's healthy and he doesn't play, that's Kevin O'Connell basically admitting he's not the guy. And that's it for McCarthy in Minnesota. Like, sure, Wentz can get hurt and McCarthy can go in, or Wentz can be bad and McCarthy can play, but it's a statement by the Vikings that they don't believe in J.J. McCarthy. The McCarthy stuff is incredibly interesting to me. And kind of his arc as an NFL player since winning the national championship in Michigan and being selected 10th overall by the Vikings in the 2024 loaded first-round quarterback class. So gets hurt, obviously, early in preseason in his rookie year, and Sam Darnold leads the team to a 14-3 record. And the Vikings decide, in that offseason last year, to not pursue Sam Darnold, despite winning 14 games, despite earning a playoff berth, spending the money elsewhere, mostly on the defensive line, and rolling with J.J. McCarthy. He starts the year, looks terrible in his first start, nationally televised audience, Monday Night Football, on the road in Chicago against the Bears. He's brutal through three quarters with an injured offensive line and no Jordan Addison. Might I add? And then in the fourth quarter, three touchdowns. They win the game. The post-game locker room is jubilant for J.J. McCarthy. Kevin O'Connell gives this incredible speech stumping for McCarthy, and the team goes nuts. And he's NFC Offensive Player of the Week. All it took was one dud on Sunday Night Football the next week against Atlanta, and everyone's out on J.J. McCarthy. Everyone's done with J.J. McCarthy. Do you want to be done with Josh Allen? And I'm not saying J.J. McCarthy is even going to be 1/20th as good as Josh Allen. But look what the Falcons' defense, what it did to J.J. McCarthy in week two, they just did on Monday night to Josh Allen. Like, maybe that defense is just awesome. And maybe the offensive line wasn't healthy. And maybe, not maybe, definitely, didn't have Jordan Addison in the game. And this isn't for me. This isn't a case why J.J. McCarthy is going to be an all-pro or going to win the Super Bowl. But I mean, like, can we be fair about this? The competition for McCarthy is Carson Wentz. Like, this is driving me crazy. Carson Wentz, who didn't, like, basically, on the street, and the Vikings correctly, and we talked about this in August, you can't go into the year with Sam Howell as the backup quarterback because he was so bad in preseason and in training camp. So I loved it when they signed Carson Wentz and traded Sam Howell. I thought that was a great move. As a backup, Carson Wentz hasn't been a competent NFL starting quarterback in a long ass time. A long ass time. Maybe you want to say, well, Kevin O'Connell's the quarterback whisperer. Look what he did with Nick Mullins. Josh Dobbs, Sam Darnold. Why can't he do that with Carson Wentz? Okay. Why can't he do it with J.J. McCarthy, the guy you drafted 10th overall? Let me ask everybody a question. Who has a higher hypothetical ceiling? J.J. McCarthy or Carson Wentz? Does the question sound ridiculous to you when I say it out loud? There are people out there who are like, the Vikings need to start Carson Wentz. Are you people insane? Like, you start Carson Wentz and you are basically saying, we're not going to make the playoffs and we're taking a new quarterback next year. We need to get a new quarterback. No way. McCarthy, like, we'll see. Maybe the floor is low. We don't know the answer yet, but you got to find out. And we'll see what the injury report has to hold for Minnesota. How's this offensive line going to look this week? We know Addison's going to be back along with Justin Jefferson. I've got some optimism here around J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings, but it's got to be J.J. McCarthy starting for the Minnesota Vikings this week. On the other side, we'll get into more of this game, Vikings and the Eagles, on Sunday.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where do things stand as far as your starting QB for Sunday, Kevin?
They stand in the same place they did Monday when I answered that question.
How are you handling practice in terms of reps and between Carson and JJ?
Yeah, they're both going to get work, both going to get reps, and very much looking forward to our whole team getting back out there.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
I hate it from Kevin O'Connell. And that obviously the voice of Vikings head coach, Kevin O'Connell. Is he really going to start Carson Wentz on Sunday? I love hearing and seeing people that are like, it's a revenge game for Carson Wentz. Revenge for what? Has he tore his ACL playing for the team in 2017 and Nick Foles went and won the Super Bowl? Like, he got his job back the next year. Like, as soon as he was ready to play, like, Carson Wentz was the starter. Like, Foles got two games the next season starting until Wentz was ready, and here's Carson Wentz. Revenge game? Like, come on. Like, the Eagles should want revenge on Carson Wentz. Like, the Colts should want revenge on Carson Wentz. Remember that game against Jacksonville at the end of the year a couple years ago? Like, stop it. Revenge game for Carson Wentz. Enough. Enough with this. Like, the idea that Carson Wentz gives you a better chance to win right now, okay, great, then you need to come out and say that we blew it with the 10th overall pick in the draft. And how do you even know that at this point? After two games. One of which, by the way, was a win when he balled out in the fourth quarter. A national TV on the road at a division rival. And it's over already for J.J. McCarthy? Like, I think this whole thing is insane. It's ridiculous. Minnesota's playoff price right now at BetMGM. We'll get to the Eagles in a second. Minnesota, yes to make the playoffs, plus 260. Not great. No, minus 325. I'm going to break this down for everybody. If Carson Wentz is named the Minnesota Vikings starting quarterback, the price for no playoffs should be minus a one with Googleplex zeros. Like pi is 3.14 followed by infinity numbers. This should be 1 followed by infinity numbers minus. 0% chance. Zero. The worst team in the division. Look what the Bears just did. The Packers and the Lions. Carson Wentz in the 2025. Carson Wentz, stop it. He's a fine backup. I praise the move when they made it. He's a really good backup quarterback. He went 2-1 in the three starts, not exactly against world beaters. Wow, you beat Jake Browning and the Cincinnati Bengals when your defense scored 1,000 points. Wow, you had to come from behind to beat Dylan Gabriel and the Cleveland Browns. Wow. Incredible. Come on. What are we talking about here? It needs to be J.J. McCarthy at starting quarterback for the Vikings. And that at least gives you some kind of ceiling. Because with Carson Wentz, you have no ceiling. With McCarthy, you can make the a case that the Vikings could reach the ceiling outcomes that we were talking about in July and in August and in early September. With Carson Wentz, this is like Michael Jordan. What did he say? The ceiling's the roof? With Carson Wentz, the ceiling is the earth's core. Grab the shovel and keep on digging. And then dig some more. Speaking of digging, their opponent on Sunday has been digging for 2 weeks. The Philadelphia Eagles. Hashtag down bad. Two straight losses following a 4-0 start, including, I still can't believe it happened, a 17-point loss last Thursday night against my New York football Giants. So the question now, and it matters for this week, and it matters moving forward for Philadelphia, can they pull themselves out of this? The haters, who may be right. Normally I'll say that, like the haters, and then I'll blast the haters, that the haters are dumb. Maybe they're right about this one. The haters will point to 2023 and say there is a history of this happening. And I didn't think the Eagles would lose either game that they lost. So I'm 0 for my last two here. So I guess I need to acknowledge the possibility that the haters are correct. The betting market at the moment for Sunday, leaning towards the side of pessimism in the Eagles snapping out of this. Now, the Eagles are favored in this game on the road at the Vikings with the quarterback issues for Minnesota that we have detailed. But the market is moving towards Minnesota. This was a juice 2.5 for Philly, then 2.5 minus 110. Now at BetMGM, it's 2. I've seen some 1.5s on the board also. So a lot of betting interest in the underdog, the home dog, the Minnesota Vikings. And I don't think there's an injury report out yet for the Eagles today. And the guys on the crew, if you see something, put it in the chat for me. But I was looking. You know, we'll wait to see if Quinyon Mitchell's able to go. Jalen Carter's able to go. If Landon Dickerson's able to go. And I know it's become chic and cool. Like the Wall Street Journal's got nothing. Just let me talk about this for a second. I got a Wall Street Journal notification on my phone. And I was like, oh. Like, maybe this is something about, like, the Middle East. Or is the government coming to work? No. It was about kids doing, like, a 6-7 meme. I think we're so screwed as a species. So it's chic. It's cool. It's like 6-7. Everyone killing the Philadelphia Eagles. I think that this game makes for a fascinating handicap. Jalen Hurts versus the Blitz used to be a very one-sided affair. I'm talking James Franklin versus top 10 teams. Aaron Glenn versus the clock. Tua Tagovailoa versus logic and reason. He had no chance. Todd Bowles embarrassed him in that playoff game, in the wild card game after the 2023 season. We saw a change last year, and we've seen it thus far this year with Jalen Hurts against the Blitz. This season, completing 72% of his passes against the Blitz, a passer rating of 121. He's been great against the Blitz. Now, think about what Vikings defensive coordinator Brian Flores likes to do. One of the Blitz happiest defensive coordinators in like the history of the league. We have seen defenses have success against the Eagles, just keep playing a zone and like making Jalen Hurts beat us here. Like, you figure it out in the moment, Jalen Hurts, and beat us. Kevin Petullo, you figure it out pre-snap and on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and beat us. And the Eagles haven't been able to do that the last few weeks. I'm very, very curious what Brian Flores' defensive game plan is going to be. Because I'll tell you what, that secondary for Minnesota is not very good. It's not. It isn't. And I think this is actually a matchup for Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and the passing offense to exploit. You send the blitz, you're going to get burnt. I don't think the secondary is very good. I haven't made the bet yet. I think I'm going to lay the Eagles. And it doesn't matter to me who the quarterback is in the game. The Minnesota part of it, as far as McCarthy v. Wentz, that's a long-term conversation this season, playoffs, adjusted win total, next year. It needs to be J.J. McCarthy for the long-term health of the Minnesota Vikings. It doesn't really matter to me who it is, though, as far as Sunday is concerned. I am going to like, and I'll be stubborn and stick with the Philadelphia Eagles. You better you bet on this Wednesday. The other Sunday NFL contest that I would like to discuss here on this wonderful Football Wednesday is America's Game of the Week. As Jaden Daniels and the 3-3 Washington Commanders visit Dak Prescott and the 2-3-1 Dallas Cowboys. Both teams coming off losses. Dallas, a very disappointing 30-27 loss to the Carolina Panthers, where clearly they did not take Rico Dowdle's advice and did not buckle up prior to the game, losing to Bryce Young. And obviously, we detailed yesterday on the show the Commanders losing 25-24 on Monday Night Football to the Chicago Bears. Both teams today, on Wednesday, getting good pieces of injury news. For Washington, Terry McLaurin's going to practice this week. You would guess that he'll be back in the lineup on Sunday for Jaden Daniels. Now, Noah Brown's going to go on IR, honestly, like you'd like to have him. I think you're starting to see the two young receivers for the Commanders and Chris Moore, who's been pretty good too, to be fair. But Jalen Lane this year, a rookie, and Luke McCaffrey last year, a rookie, now a second-year player, both starting to emerge. And maybe we'll look back at the end of the season and say these receiver absences, assuming the Commanders make the playoffs, might have been good to get Jalen Lane some run and to get Luke McCaffrey a little bit more run. I like both those young receivers. And it looks like McLaurin will be back on Sunday. And for Dallas, CeeDee Lamb back at practice today. Videos and pictures of CeeDee Lamb practicing for the Cowboys. And Kevontae Turpin going to practice this week as well for Dallas. So both teams getting healthier. And it makes for a fascinating, fascinating game. So yesterday on the show, following the Commanders' loss on Monday, I made a bet, and I talked about that bet, which was Washington to make the playoffs. And we went through the standings in the NFC, and the Commanders are behind the eight ball right now, and I know that, and that's why they're a plus price to make the playoffs. I've got so much faith, blind faith, I guess. It's not really blind faith. We saw him go to the conference championship game last season, but I mean, it's year two. Hasn't done it, like, only did it for 1 year. I've got so much faith in Jaden Daniels. I made that bet with confidence. And I'm still confident today. But I do have to acknowledge that really thinking about this game in preparation for the show today and knowing I wanted to talk about it, I'm concerned about this Commanders back seven of the defense, the linebackers in the secondary, against Dak Prescott and this Cowboys passing offense. The secondary stinks, and the linebackers can't run. The three games that will follow this one for the Commanders, at the Chiefs, on Monday Night Football, and I'm going to give you my prediction right now for that game. The Chiefs are going to win. Home Seattle, home Detroit. If you're 3-4, which was what they'll be if they lose this game to Dallas on Sunday, they're 2-point road favorites. If you're 3-4 going into that three-game stretch, you are almost certainly entering the bye week under 500. Not great when you'd like to make the playoffs if you're the Washington Commanders. Now for Dallas. The schedule is fascinating as well, moving past this game. Next week at Denver, then home against Arizona. Presumably Kyler Murray's back for that game. Not the most daunting two-game stretch. Then the bye. And then from there, it gets exceptionally difficult for the Dallas Cowboys. So here's Dallas' schedule after their bye week. At the Raiders, let's say you want to call that a win. Okay. Home Eagles. Home Chiefs. At the Lions. Home Vikings. Home Chargers. At Commanders. This is a must-win game for both teams as far as the playoffs are concerned. Now, I'm not suggesting like the loser can't make the playoffs, but think about the schedule that I just laid out there. Like, if Dallas loses this game, like the margin for error is growing smaller and smaller for the Cowboys. And for Washington, with that three games coming up after this one, the margin for error for them is getting smaller as well. We might look back on this game a month from now, 6 weeks from now, 2 months from now, and say, like, that was a de facto elimination game for the NFC playoffs. This Sunday in Dallas with the Commanders and the Cowboys. This is a huge game. And I'm nervous about the Commanders' linebackers, and I'm nervous about the secondary, and I'm nervous that Dallas puts up a big number in this game. But like I am with the Philadelphia Eagles this week, I'm going to be stubborn. I'm going to stick to my guns, and I'll place my money on the better quarterback in the game. Give me Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders to win on Sunday in Dallas. Take a quick break, and on the other side, we'll take a spin around Major League Baseball and answer the question, is it just going to be Dodgers and Mariners in the World Series?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Another 3-2. Muncy into center field. Frelick turns and runs. That ball's deep. Frelick jumps. And it is up and out of here. Max Muncy.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Our guy, Brian Anderson, on the call. BA will join us coming up Friday, this Friday. Phenomenal playoff baseball Friday, 4:40 p.m. Eastern time. Max Muncy homer last night. Dodgers win 5-1, up 2-0 in the best of seven NLCS. Three games coming up in Los Angeles. Series over. Just to say this quickly, and then we'll pay the bills with BetMGM. Max Muncy is now the Dodgers' all-time franchise leader in postseason home runs with 14. And this was like in the early 2000s, really. I don't think it really happened in the late 90s with the Yankees, where all of a sudden, like Bernie Williams, and it's, I'm not trying to diminish Bernie Williams, he's a great Yankee, great player, where he's like the all-time home run leader in like Yankee postseason history. Just like, I don't like love that. Like, it's Max Muncy, because they play so many more postseason games now. That's a 42-year-old yelling at cloud Nick Costos giving you a sports opinion. I just wanted to say that. We would love for you, dear listener and dear viewer, to swing big on your next bet with an MLB postseason odds boost token. Use your token to net a bigger payout on a winning bet, like Mariners money line tonight. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and please gamble responsibly. And don't forget to download and subscribe to You Better You Bet in podcast form. Just search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Femi gave a bet for NFL Defensive Player of the Year today. Search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. YouTube.com/@TheBetMGM Network. Twitch.tv/TheBetMGM Network. Like, comment, and subscribe to our video feeds. Man. Yoshinobu Yamamoto. First complete game in the Major League Baseball postseason in 7 years? Does that seem crazy to anyone? Right? Complete game, 3 hit, 7 strikeouts. What's so fascinating to me about this is that the manager that let Yamamoto finish the game is Dave Roberts. I used to, on this show, because that's how long we've been doing the show, like 2019, You Better You Bet first year on the air. And years before that as well, like when the Dodgers lose the 18 World Series to the Red Sox, they lose to the Astros when the Astros were cheating. I used to kill Dave Roberts. And the bit that I did on the show was, Robo manager, my pull pitcher out of game. Look at spreadsheet to tell me when to take hitter out for pinch hitter. He was the worst. The actual worst. The drizzling, you know what. And all of a sudden, he's the man. And the Dodgers are the highest price. I said this last week, the highest priced team of destiny in the history of sports. They've got an air of inevitability about them. And when Dave Roberts is the guy that's letting the pit, this ain't like AJ Hinch with Justin Verlander. I was 8 years ago, not 7 years ago. It ain't AJ Hinch that's letting his Haas finish the game. Like, it ain't Dusty Baker. This ain't Tony La Russa. Like, it ain't Bruce Bochy. We ain't throwing it back here. It's Dave Roberts. I think it just goes to show that the Dodgers have evolved, which is really, really scary for everybody else. If you think the 2020 World Series counts, look, if the Yankees had won, I'm being transparent. If the Yankees had won, I would tell you it counts, like, to my dying breath. Like, if you want to say the Dodgers beat winning the World Series that year counts against the Rays, whatever, then fine. Remember when Justin Turner tested positive for COVID like 20 minutes after the final game? Like, this is like, did all of these things, is this like the Mandela effect? Did that actually, it happened, right? Like, this is a crazy run that they're on here. And they're about to win another World Championship. Or at the very least, they're about to win another National League pennant. It's done. It's over. Like I told you it was before the series started. It's done. Like, I mean, and both series are done. Tonight is game 3 of the ALCS. Seattle's up 2-0 with 2 wins in Toronto. 3 games in the Pacific Northwest. Could the Blue Jays win? Yes. Will they? Probably not. Would I bet on it? Not with your money. And Dodgers-Brewers, like, could not be more over. This series ended the moment Bryce Harang pulled his leg out from getting hit by Blake Treinen in the bottom of the ninth of Game 1. And I hate to boil it down to that, but it's like, that's it. It's done. Dodgers-Mariners is your World Series. I think the Dodgers are going to win, but I do acknowledge there were one team from the American League that could potentially take down the team of destiny, the LA Dodgers. It could be Femi's Seattle Mariners. But last night is just more of what we already knew. The Dodgers are winning the National League pennant and more than likely going to win another World Series championship. And this time going back to back. You better you bet on this Wednesday. Odyssey Sports NFL insider Brian Baldinger joins us at the top of the next hour. Femi, how are you feeling about the baseball? And you've got some football for me as well.
Yeah, I mean, the baseball last night from a betting standpoint was very frustrating, watching the Dodgers blow all those opportunities with the bases loaded, left 10 guys on base. And I said it in the first hour, I can't be too mad at the Dodgers because they did their part in this over 7 bet that I placed. But, I mean, like Shohei's at the plate, striking out with the bases loaded, another situation, whatever. It happened to unfold that way. But the Brew Crew, they really got shut down. Shout out to Yamamoto for going the distance. But for tonight, I think the Mariners win. And they go up 3-0. I think that place is going to be on fire in the Pacific Northwest. This is as close as they've been to getting a World Series berth. So I absolutely love the Seattle Mariners later on tonight. Oh, that's very interesting, Nick. I didn't realize that one right there. I just saw what you put into the chat. That's a very, very interesting note. Do you want to bring that on the air? Or do you want to?
We can. This is per. Yeah, Bill put it in there. This is Connor Hughes, who I believe covers the Giants and the Jets for SNY. Bill, just let me know if I'm wrong about that. I think I'm right. That the Giants are going to be aggressive in pursuit of adding a receiver before the trade deadline. Believed to be, quote, big game hunting, which, like, as a Giants fan, I really like. Mm-hmm. Let's see what you got this year with Jackson Dart. And look, like, there's a counter to be made, which is they're going to mortgage the future to try and win games this year to keep their jobs. I'd kind of like to see what this is going to be with Jackson Dart. And I don't know if you get a full Jackson Dart evaluation with basically no receivers. I just don't know who the receiver is going to be. Maybe it would have been Tyreek Hill if he didn't get hurt. Like Juwan Jennings rumors. The Raiders could trade Jacoby Myers. I don't know if those guys would fall under the big game hunting umbrella for the Giants here.
Green Bay.
Bill brought up Chris Olave. Why would the Saints trade Olave? Like I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But who would Green Bay trade?
So I saw, like, in searching for injury reports all throughout the last like half hour or so, I think it was like blog rumors, like, oh, like, could the Giants pursue guys like Christian Watson, who's about to come back for Green Bay, maybe as early as this week?
It
sounds like
maybe more than that next week. Torn ACL. That's awesome.
Yeah, but hey, you want to stretch the field? Love He's it. A guy that can do it. Dontavian Wicks, man. Yeah, Dontavian Wicks is a name. So like, okay,
Dontavian Wicks is a good receiver. Like, he's better than Jalen Hyatt and Bo Collins, but like, game hunting. So Hughes later in the report says Olave, which again, like, I don't know why the Saints would do. I guess they could. It makes no sense for them to do that. Jacoby Myers, who I don't consider to be big game hunting, and he's been terrible this season. The Raiders' best wide receiver this year has unequivocally been Trey Tucker.
Trey Tucker, yeah.
So, and we're going to trade for the second best receiver on a terrible passing offense? Like, come on. And Jalen Waddle. I mean, you trade for Jalen Waddle, you're taking on a monster contract. Now, the Giants did restructure a bunch of contracts in the secondary today. They did just do that with Adebo and others, maybe making a run at Waddle. I mean, I just, like, if the Dolphins are going to trade Jalen Waddle, then they need to fire Mike McDaniel. Like, so there's a lot of things that need to happen before any of this happens. I don't see it. I can be wrong. I think it's more, like, Myers is the one that I can see happening. But Jacoby Myers is not big game hunting. That's my opinion on this report from Connor Hughes. I don't know Connor personally. Maybe he's right. I'm not saying his info is bad. There's just my opinion.
Yeah. I could see Waddle, though. Like, especially with this regime being like, hey, like, it's do or die for us in terms of keeping our jobs. Like, contract, like, let the next general manager worry about that. Let the next head coach worry about that. We need to protect our desk. Waddle, I think, would be a nice addition to the Giants offense. So, like, that to me, I don't think it seems crazy at all. Like, it's just Miami. Okay. Are they willing to
but
do
you
it?
Need, yeah, you need to fire Mike McDaniel then. Because you are basically, what's if you mean? Trade Jalen Waddle, you are saying, like, we have no passing offense for the rest of the year.
But isn't that what's going to happen? Like, they're 1-5, you know? Like, hope.
But with Jalen Waddle, like, you have a passing offense. Like, you have a legitimate receiver. Without Waddle, you have no receivers.
But if you can get the contract off the books from Miami...
It's Malik Washington and Nick Westbrook again, but like Tyreek's going to be off the books this year. So then you have your wide receiver that you're paying.
Yeah, clear it all. Like this is not going anywhere for the Miami Dolphins. Go get the high draft pick. Passing offense, great. We don't need a passing offense if we want to go get the number one overall pick.
Then fire the coach.
Which I think is happening. Isn't that happening soon?
What I'm saying is, if you're going to do that, then you have to fire the coach also. You can't trade Jalen Waddle and keep Mike McDaniel and leave him twisting in the wind because they're going to be horrible. And they're horrible already. Like, but at least they can move the ball. Like, they scored 27 points last week.
Well, trade deadline's November 4th. Like, they still got some time to do both of those things, but...
Sure.
I think if you're the New York Giants, that's a phone call I'm definitely making. And hey, it depends if Miami wants to go ahead and do it, but... I think the Dolphins should be open to doing this because this thing's going nowhere quick, fast, and in a hurry.
What else you got?
Want to talk about who wants to be the AFC number one seed? I think that's a fun betting market over at BetMGM. So in the first hour, I talked about all like the playoff teams that I think they're going to make it, all 14 teams. That is the script that I gave out earlier. But the one seed, the favorite right now is Buffalo at plus 275, Indianapolis plus 400, Kansas City 6-1, Chargers plus 650, Steelers 9-1, Broncos, Patriots 10, Jags 12, and if you really want to get crazy, Houston 40-1. $100. Where are you going with the one seed? I have a couple teams that I want to bet on, but
yeah,
I think it's a really, really fun betting market. I like Kansas City and New England.
Kansas City and New England. Patriots easy schedule, right?
Soft as hell. Like they could be 12-13 wins, and I think that might be enough to get the one seed in the AFC, because I don't think Buffalo's going to take advantage of this easy schedule with all their warts that they have defensively.
I'd like to, if we can't get to that in long form today, like we'll have some space tomorrow or Friday, because I like this conversation. Hour one done, hour two for you. Coming up on the other side, we begin the hour with Odyssey Sports NFL Insider, Brian Baldinger.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.